Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
We're good.
I you better be.
Yeah, things are good here in Jamaica again this year.
That's good. That's good. Nobody's had to be bailed out or anything, I take it?
No trips to the jail, no trips to the hospital. Maybe nothing but a couple of Band-Aids here and there.
Maybe some aspirin or something like that. But no, you know, your normal bumps and bruises for people who are trying to act like they're 20 when they're not anymore. You know the deal.
All right. Oh, good, good. I look forward to seeing the videos of you guys on the jet skis online.
Hey, how often does Jamaica make it into the, you know, the tour world?
Not a whole lot. Sometimes, you know, the resorts will bring, you know, one resort or another will spend a lot of money to bring somebody down. You know, Jamaica, of course, has its own great indigenous music scene. So, you know, it's not like they're lacking for great music down there. But, you know, it takes something to bring a big touring production into the country.
So the Beatles aren't going to show up in Jamaica necessarily if they were to reunite.
No, probably not, although it would be as nice a place as any to do it.
You would think that it would be a good place for a one-off, you know? But like you said, I don't know what they have as far as stadiums or theaters.
And infrastructure gear, you know? I mean, where do they have the PA systems or the instruments or the back line, all the things you need to do these shows.
It couldn't go any worse than the Fire Festival,
which was as
bad as it ever got.
Nothing can go much worse than that. That's true. So, you know, they get their share of music, but it's still it's a real challenge to bring a touring production over there.
I always say when we get here and you go around and you check out all these shops that have T-shirts and whatnot, you know, the tourist places, I always go, if Bob Marley hadn't been here in Jamaica, what would they be selling us?
That's the thing. Maybe that's why they don't, you know, bring tours here, is because who's going to go?
Else would have come out of there. But
okay.
You know, obviously, you know, Bob Marley's the dominant legacy.
And the answer was, well, the bobsled team. They got a movie made about it.
They have a bobsled team.
And Usain Bolt are the other answer. So
exactly.
Okay, on to music news. All right, let's start with the bad stuff right off the bat. The Michael Jackson documentary, how bad is that?
Well, that certainly, made a major impact when it had shown out at the Sundance Film Festival, but when it hit HBO, you know, and the wide world was able to see it, just the backlash has been incredible. You know, to a degree on both sides of the fence, but you have radio stations around the world, the BBC Two, Canada, New Zealand, you know, are taking Michael Jackson's music off the air. Museums questioning whether Michael Jackson memorabilia, questioning whether they're going to keep these displays up. You know, all sorts of things. So, you know, people were just really blown away by it, and it was a hard documentary to watch. First of all, it's freaking long,
yeah,
you know, and it's not in terms of a film, it doesn't move particularly, you know. It's a lot of talking and a lot of stuff that's really hard to hear.
Was there stuff in there that you hadn't heard before?
Well, quite a few things in terms of detail, you know. Certainly in terms of detail, you've heard a lot of the, you know, especially the, I guess, the Michael Jackson strategy of how he wooed some of these, you know, allegedly wooed some of these young boys into this kind of relationship. But the details, you know, the graphic details were just, you know.
This documentary
filmmaking, but yeah, it was brutal.
The wedding dress bit, you know,
so much of it. The masturbating in bed. It was just really, really hard. And then, you know. And the world, you know, a lot of people are, you know, grappling with how to handle this. I mean, how do you handle a musical legacy that's still brilliant in terms of the songs, and we've had to do this with a number of other performers before, but not necessarily to this level. So, you know, you even saw Oprah on Monday night, you know, having to do, you know, and she was decidedly on Team Michael for a while there, but, you know, sitting down and interviewing the filmmakers and the alleged victims of all of this. And, you know, that was really interesting to watch. He still has his supporters, you know, the family, of course, and his daughter Paris Jackson spoke out recently saying, you know, her father's legacy will come through this. Somebody did a crowdfunding program in England, and they're putting pro-Michael Jackson advertisements on buses driving around London.
I am a firm believer in short memories, and people will forget about this, and his music will be played on the radio, and he'll be, you know, talked about glowingly in a short time again. I just don't think this is going to stick for some reason.
I think this takes the polish off it. In other words, he'll be spoken about musically in glowing terms, but there will always be the asterisk in anything that's said or written or shown about him.
And another guy who had a really, really bad week, R. Kelly.
Oh, R. Kelly's having a bad year with a lot more ahead. You know, first he gets bailed out of jail, and then there are more revelations about young, you know, underage women he supposedly either slept with or raped. He did an interview with Gayle King that's going to air primetime tonight, by the way, 7 o'clock on CBS. That, you know, every defense attorney, criminal defense attorney in the country were just slapping their heads over this, saying who let this guy go on TV and just rant like this. You know, it does not help his case at all. Now he's back in jail for unpaid child support. It started ugly, and it's getting uglier, and I think it'll get uglier still.
This Gayle King interview that they did, this was just supposed to be like a morning news item, right?
Right.
But it went so badly that CBS said, no, we're turning this into a one-hour special.
Oh, well, even more than that, you know, they spread it out over a few days on CBS this morning, and then, yeah, we're taking it to prime time. So, no, it's...
Well, he was getting up and...
Oh, yeah.
Talking to the camera and crying.
It was crazy.
You know, and, you know, like I said, every defense attorney, criminal defense attorney in the country was just like, who let this happen?
You know. Let's talk about Woodstock then. 50th anniversary lineup has been set?
Well, it's not officially announced, but it seems to have leaked. And the Black Keys are going to be returning to the stage for the first time in 5 years. Imagine Dragons, The Killers, Robert Plant, Greta Van Fleet, Raconteurs, Cage the Elephant. Portugal, the Man. You know, on the pop side, we're going to have Jay-Z, Chance the Rapper, Run the Jewels, Gary Clark Jr., Miley Cyrus, Halsey, Janelle Monáe, Brandi Carlile. A whole bunch of them are supposed to celebrate the 50th anniversary weekend, mid-August, out in Watkins Glen. Like I say, they haven't officially announced it, but it leaked because of some reportage that was being done about whether or not the festival was in trouble, that there were reports that a lot of these acts were not getting the money they were supposed to get. And so the story came out to say, yes, they're all being wired the deposits to perform. And Michael Lang, who's the co-creator and the face of this one, says, you know, yes, we will go on. Apparently they're not sure exactly how many people will be allowed to attend out there in Watkins Glen. Apparently the permit provides for 75,000. But Michael Lang would like to have, I think it's 125,000 he'd like to have. And then, you know, of course, this Watkins Glen site very famously held 600,000 back in 72 for the Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead, and the band. So we'll see where that winds up going. But we at least know a little bit more about it. And then the Black Keys is exciting because, you know, they've been gone for about 5 years since their last tour, and they celebrated the non-announcement by releasing a new song called Lo-Hi, and you can catch that now. It's out there streaming.
By my count, there are 4 books coming out. I mean, you got Pete Townsend, 2 about CSN and Y, and Billy Joel's got a book coming out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's more books than that obviously coming out, but that was this week's news. Pete Townsend announced that on November 5th, he'll publish his very first novel called The Age of Anxiety. You know, he did write a book of short stories back in 1985, as well as a novella called The Boy Who Heard Music, but this is his first full-scale novel, and it's apparently, you know, the narrator is a rock and roller, and so some of it, you know, does come from Pete's life. Apparently, The Age of Anxiety was initially conceived as an opera, and now it's been turned into a book.
Really?
So, Coming after that, we're going to have, like you said, not one but two books about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, which both seem to be called Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. One is by Peter Doggett, who's a British author. He's done books before about the Beatles, David Bowie, and a number of other topics. David Brown wrote the other one, and he's also written about the Beatles, the Grateful Dead, and many others, and he was the main music guy at Entertainment Weekly. So, you know, both of those, the 50th anniversary for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Are those both authorized?
No, neither one is authorized.
Okay.
But and the authors aren't hacks. I mean, they're reputable authors. Right.
And then Billy Joel book, which is called Tales of an Innocent Fan, is not authorized, but seems to have had a level of cooperation from Billy Joel. And this is going to be similar to the Bruce Springsteen fan documentary of several years back, where it was about the Springsteen fans. This author, John Brett, who's also British, writes about Billy Joel from his own personal experience as a fan, but then also interviews a number of other fans as well as musicians who are Billy Joel's fans, and then takes a look at Billy Joel that way. So it's not quite a conventional biography, but it'll be. But you know, it sounds like it could be a pretty interesting read.
This sounds like an uncomfortable moment on TV. The Jonas Brothers, who are on James Corden's show, were accused of plagiarizing their new single.
Yeah, Portugal, the group Portugal the Man, you know, who we mentioned before as being part of the Woodstock 50th show, kind of, you know, after other people noticed this, have said, you know, said that the Jonas Brothers' new single, Sucker, sounds a lot like Feel It Still, Portugal the Man's big hit from 2017, you know, especially in the chorus. And they did, Portugal the Man did in their social media posting, said, to be fair, the chorus of Feel It Still sounds very similar to Please Mr. Postman by the Marvelettes. But they also, you know, claim that they gave, Portugal the Man says they gave full credit to the writers of Please Mr. Postman, whereas the Jonas Brothers have just put out a song that sounds a lot like their song. So that hasn't been addressed on the James Corden show. They've been on the late show all week.
I see what you mean.
Doing
okay.
Lots of shtick. Right. But so, you know, as far as I know, it hasn't come up. I think they've got one more night tonight. But I don't see that as something Corden's going to cover.
So is this going to be the next Blurred Lines with, you know, hey, that's our tune, man. What are you doing?
I don't know. Portugal the Man hasn't made noise about suing, but we'll see.
Or how's that guy doing with Stairway to Heaven, who keeps suing Led Zeppelin over and over again? The band, where's that?
It's back in court. You know, he did get an appeals court to rule that, you know, it may have been a mistrial because the judge in the initial trial did not allow the original court recordings to be played in court. He had a live musician play them on an acoustic guitar in court, and the appeals court agreed that, you know, the jury should have been allowed to hear the original songs.
Did Frank Zappa ever say he would come back as a hologram?
No, he never said he'd come back from the dead or anything, but as we know, Frank Zappa is coming back as a hologram. You can online, in fact, catch a sneak peek of the hologram, just of him talking, you know, and a couple of his famous sound bites. The Bizarre World of Frank Zappa tour kicks off April 19th in Port Chester, New York, and this will be the Frank Zappa hologram playing with live musicians, including several former band members.
All right, we've talked about the Zappa family before, and there are two camps. There's the camp that controls Frank's estate and the camp that doesn't, and they're always at war with each other. Who's running this one out there?
This is the two younger children, Amit and I forget the daughter's name. These are the ones who have control of the estate. So they're able to take all of this Frank Zappa imagery and turn it into a hologram and into a tour and have it be legal and authorized and all of that.
So how many stops does this tour make? Do they
right
have
now
dates set up?
Right now it looks like it has 10, but there will be more. And they're playing smaller markets, upstate New York, you know, theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, Long Island. They are stopping in Boston and Baltimore, but you know, this is the trial balloon. They want to test out the technology, and if it works, you'll see Frank Zappa all over the place this year.
Are you going to see this?
I'll probably go to see it out of bizarre curiosity. I have seen the Roy Orbison hologram thing, which is too weird for words, and not particularly good. I mean, when you're looking directly at Roy and you can see the violin player directly behind him through him.
Yeah,
it seems to me that that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Kind of ghosty.
It's like Casper, right. Is yeah. What it's like. Ghost.
Yeah. And you know, there's a Ronnie James Dio hologram that's touring, and believe me, anybody who has a dead rock star, whether it's Freddie Mercury or Tupac, is looking at this as a potential idea.
See him as a hologram.
But you know what? These are the worst holograms we're going to have. They're only going to get better. So are these guys getting out ahead of the curve? Like, well, it'll improve over time now. It may take a few years, but could it be in the future that maybe you see, you know, a like you said, a Tupac tour where it looks like, wow, that really looks like him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's I think
isn't it easier just to do, you know, band impersonators and cover bands,
or just watch old videos on TV, stuff like that? I don't know.
Yeah,
if there's money to be made, though, right? Somebody's going to try and do
this. Somebody will try it. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
What else? Duran's going to induct Roxy Music into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they weren't supposed. They kind of jumped the gun on this, but the members of Duran, they were on the. On the radio in Los Angeles, and the bassist John Taylor said that he and Simon Le Bon had been tapped to induct Roxy Music. And we're supposed to hear more, I think, as soon as next week about who the other presenters and performers will be, because we're not, you know, they're not entirely sure who all is going to be performing of the inductees. I mean, Def Leppard, obviously, you would hope Roxy Music would get up there, Janet Jackson, Stevie Nicks, the Zombies. I'm sure Will Radiohead singer is not coming, so I don't know how they do it, and The Cure hasn't said if they will or won't perform yet.
All right, and finally, you get to pick.
I get to pick, which I always love when you let me do.
Pressure's
this.
On, Gary.
Well,
here you go.
I've had this on the sheet for a little while, but Guns N' Roses looks like we are going to get a new album from them. We've had individual members like Richard Fortus, the guitarist, did an interview in St. Louis, and Slash said something. In a radio interview. Now Duff McKagan is out there saying he's heard new material. They're passing jams around between each other. And he said, you know, it feels like they're taking the next step towards a next album. They're not committing to it. They're not talking about a release date or anything. But it sounds like that's definitely in their crosshair.
All right. Very good.
All right. Well, you guys don't get to use sunscreen.
We're down.
Yeah, well, if we haven't used it by now, it's too late.
Yeah, we're down just hours left in Jamaica, Gary. So.
All right, well, enjoy. You know, don't say anything stupid or custom. I don't want to hear about body cavity searches.
All right, we'll try to avoid those. Thanks, Gary.
All right, Gary, we'll talk to you next week. Gary Graff, our music expert. You get him here every Friday morning.